On the other side of the planet, from a home base in England, Stuart Foulkes has been running his own sound project. For more than 7 years, he's been gathering and remixing sounds of the cities all over the world. It's one of the biggest sound projects, if not the biggest, covering more than 100 countries. Stuart is the creator of Cities and Memory. Stuart, hello to you.
Hey there.
Tell me about that recording. Where were we?
So that was in a little club called La Carbonería, which is in Seville, Spain. And that is the sound of flamenco dancing, which is an item of UNESCO intangible heritage. So a classic sound of the city, and also one of the rare occasions on which a sound has kind of been recognized as being culturally significant and protected to some extent.
Cities and Memory. Tell me about this project. Where did it come from? In some ways, that title speaks to it all, but where did it come from?
Yeah, so the tagline of the project is remixing the world one sound at a time. So Cities and Memory is, in effect, a global sound map, and it covers more than 100 countries with more than 5,000 sounds on there, and about 1,000 artists have taken part from around the world. And what you'll hear on every location on that map are two sounds. So first you'll hear the sort of documentary, real field recording of what that place actually sounds like. And second you'll hear a composition, a remix, a piece of music or a composition that an artist has made based on that original field recording. So in effect we're trying to remix the world one sound at a time.
And where did the idea for it come from?
As someone who's been working with sound for, I guess, 15, 20 years, I've always approached sound from the perspective of being raw material, of being something that can be manipulated, something that can be played as an instrument, something that has inherent musical and artistic value, as opposed to looking at field recording from the sort of documentary standpoint of purely recording, a time and a place. So looking at how do you use sound creatively and then how do you represent that back to the world. And I think this is like an interesting way of looking at sound and then by extension looking at place and the way that we experience place as well.
What was the first sound that you recorded as part of this project?
When I first started the project, it was effectively just me with my recording device on my own in my home city in Oxford. So I just kind of wandered out of my house one morning and went and stood under a bridge nearby on a river and recorded the sound of pigeons nesting, boats going past and passing joggers. Didn't really know what to do with that sound, put it onto a map. And then open the project up to any collaborators from anywhere around the world. And, 7 years later, here we are with 1,000 artists contributing, 5,000 sounds and managing to cover 100 countries. So it's a project that's really, really taken off over the last 5, 6 years in terms of just being open to anyone who wants to take part all over the world.
How do you go about getting sounds from 100 plus countries?
One of the great things about digital technology and social media is this project would not have been possible 10 years ago. So through networks like Twitter and Facebook and others, you in social media, you can put the word out. And if the project is interesting enough, then it's really great that people kind of come towards it. And some of the media coverage that some of the bigger projects that we've done, for example, around the sounds of protests, around the sounds of the COVID-19 soundscapes changing, the ways that the sounds of nature were becoming more and more prominent as traffic noise died down. People were discovering new species of animals that were coming into cities and becoming emboldened. So you'd hear, you know, owl calls in the centre of Thessaloniki that you would never have been able to hear 2 years previous to that, and various things like that. So I think the way the world changed sonically during COVID was just fascinating, and that was a really interesting project.
What about outside of COVID? Give me one more.
I think also the sounds of protest was a big one. So around 2017, we did a project called Protest and Politics, which was collecting together the sounds of protest and social unrest around the world. And, you know, that was really fascinating to see how every individual protest has its own individual personality, its own individual mood, whether it's sadness or anger, whatever it might be.
Are there any places that you have gotten sound from that surprised you? Any far-flung places that you would have never expected somebody who learned about this project to reach out from?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, for example, one morning I woke up to find a recording from North Korea sitting in my inbox, which I would never have expected.
Yusuf and Nahal talked about preserving the culture of their city of Cairo as the city changes and some of those sounds disappear. What do you hope we learn from hearing the sounds of the world that we live in?
There are various schemes in place to make sure that, you know, prominent buildings and sites of historic importance are protected and preserved. But there's nothing really globally that protects important culturally significant sounds. And sound is something you only really notice, I mean, it sounds obvious, but you only really notice it once it's gone. You know, a particular sound mark in your town, whether it's a church bell or, you know, the sound of a horse and carriage or whatever it might be, you won't tend to notice that that's disappeared until it's gone. And so I think projects like, you know, this Cairo project are so important because they can help us to identify which sounds are significant now, which ones are, you know, worth protecting, worth preserving as soundscapes change, because just as the technology of the world and just as the world is changing at a faster rate than it ever has in the past, so obviously that translates to sound as well, and the way that particularly our city's sound has never changed more quickly than it's doing at the moment, and I think that's something we need to take stock of.
Well, and it's really interesting because it's not as though there are fewer sounds. I mean, it seems as though the world is noisier now than ever before, whether it's, you know, people talking on their phones, the alerts that chime in, people walking around playing music out of a boombox, or, you know, that might be strapped to their bicycle handlebars, or just, you know, noise in a city, whether it's jackhammers and cars. Do you worry that that sound obscures some of the sounds that are more indigenous, if I can put it that way, to the cities themselves?
I think the issue from an urban perspective is that the cities are starting to sound more and more homogenous. You know, so as traffic noise takes over more and more of the world, you'll find that and as buildings start to look the same, and as, you know, global chains expand around the world, it's one of the downsides, I guess, of a globalized world, is that a lot of the world is starting to sound the same. You get this big heavy wash of low frequency traffic, you know, pretty much taking over everything. And that's really problematic in terms of, you know, how different cities and different places sound individual and have their own sonic personalities. And we don't want to lose those personalities of cities and spaces. And I think that's really, really important.
It's like there's a difference between sound and noise in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so many controversial definitions of noise. You know, one of the most popular definitions of noise is unwanted sound, and even that doesn't work because, you know, what's an unwanted sound to me might not be the same as an unwanted sound to you. So it's very, very hard to define noise. And one of the interesting things is that although noise is one of the most frequently complained about things in, you know, in the developed world, so I think noise is the most complained about thing in New York City, for example, but it's still not really a vote-winning issue. It's not something that's going to get a local councillor or a local government elected or, you know, or losing. And so until people start to really care about noise and make, in fact, make a noise about it, you know, things aren't really going to change in that respect.
If people want to contribute the sounds of their city or community to this project, how do they get in touch?
You can just go to citiesandmemory.com and you can submit sounds on there. You can submit just a field recording. You can submit a composition. You can submit both. But the project's completely open to anyone around the world. So we'd absolutely love to hear from anyone who just wants to share a little bit of what their world sounds like.
Are there holy grail sounds that you're still looking for? An elusive sound that you have yet to capture?
Oh yeah, there's so many. I mean, one of my, I think one of my broader goals, I think, is particularly to gather more sounds from across the continent of Africa as a whole. You know, it's underrepresented in the field recording community. It's sadly underrepresented on the Cities of Memory map at the moment. I think we've got maybe 10 countries from Africa out of 50 or so. And I think, you know, just trying to find those connections into people who either have recordings from Africa or recorders based in Africa would be great. I would just love to hear more sounds from, whether it's, you know, Ghana or Namibia, Botswana, Mali, wherever it might be. That's one of my goals for the near future of the project.
This is a really interesting project. I'm glad to talk to you about it. Stuart, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Stuart Fox is the founder of Cities and Memory. This is some music that was playing on the radio in Senegal. If you're listening online in Africa, I know that a number of people do because I hear from you. You heard him say he wants more sounds from the continent. Go to citiesandmemory.com to get in touch. And we would love to hear some sounds from Canada. We'll send them to him as well. But record something distinctive where you live. What does it sound like where you are? What are the sounds that are around you that you think are worth preserving? Record it on your phone, share it with him, and share it with us. Send us your audio as an email attachment to thecurrent@cbc.ca. Again, thecurrent@cbc.ca. Just use the voice memo app on your phone for that. I think of, you know, the knife sharpening van that still drives around in my neighborhood, the sounds of my neighbor speaking Portuguese across the fence in the backyard. Some of those are sounds that I would love to hear. Let us know your sounds and what it sounds like where you are and what you'd like to preserve. Again, email us thecurrent@cbc.ca.